This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's good, Bulls fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Horns Over Hoop podcast with your hosts, Sal Bass, Scott Berman, and Dan Gracie. How you guys doing, fellas?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm just angry right now. Just straight rage. I'm seeing red. I am seeing red.
Seeing red.
We finally figured out what the motto meant. See red. Seriously, guys, are we ever going to win a damn game?
Maybe in like March or February, but not anytime soon.
All right. All jokes aside. So, from our last cast, the Bulls went an abysmal 1-5. They drops them to 5-14th overall. They're now sitting 13th in the Eastern Conference and second to last in our division, behind the Detroit Pistons, who only have 2 wins at the moment. So at least we're doing better than that, okay? At least there's something. Or they have 3?
Yeah.
Oh, they have 3. Okay, so they're gaining on us. guys, what the hell is going on? What's wrong with this team? Scott, go ahead.
Well, earlier in the year, all our losses were 2-3-point losses. During this stretch, we lost by an average of 16.5 points. So they stopped playing defense. They stopped trying. No one's getting back on transition. One of the big things I've noticed is Vooch is getting massively targeted on pick and rolls because he's so slow on getting over on transition. And what it's causing is someone else has to go towards the lane to try to protect that, and someone is wide open for 3. I think the last 2 games, the Bulls have given up like 60 three-pointers or something like that. It's insane how bad they've been on the perimeter defense.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on everything. It's like out of the last couple of games, it's like 60-something threes given up. And to your point about the beginning of the season to now, like, you could tell, like, in the beginning of the season, they were trying. They were trying Billy's system. They were trying all these new stuff out. But now, you can 100% tell that this team is checked out. Like, Vooch is checked out. Zach's checked out. I think the only person that's not – the only people that aren't really checked out are DeMar and Caruso. Other than that –
I wouldn't say that.
I think Pat and Kobe are doing well, but I also think that it's because they know the writing's on the wall and that they're probably going to be the only 2 players left on this roster when it's all said and done. And that's a maybe. I mean, because, you know, Kobe and Zach are the 2 players left from the Garpax era. And we all know that Zach he's headed out, so... Who really knows what the future holds for this roster? But right now, it is not looking good at all.
Yeah, I'd noticed that too. I noticed that it looks like we fell back into our old ways. It looks like we started the season off with that not being able to guard the perimeter, giving up a lot of three-pointers. Not just giving up a lot of three-pointers, but a lot of them were coming to the same person because we were failing to recognize the hot shooter and put a man on him. I mean, key in the Grayson Allens, key in whoever, the Gary Trent Juniors. We just failed to put a body on these very good shooters. And that was a problem that was in preseason, too, to which I thought they were going to fix it, and they never did. Another thing that's a problem with us is we keep finding ourselves in these multiple-point deficits, these 15, 20-point deficits, to which I'll give them credit. Like I said last time, they do find a way to crawl themselves back into the game. But it's like, what the hell? Why can't we come out of the gate swinging, you know, and keep the pedal to the metal? A lot of mistakes.
We did come out of the gate swinging recently. I think, what, we were up like 34-10, and then we got blown out by like 13 points against the Nets.
Yeah,
that was that game.
Was that?
I've never been so pissed.
Did we play the Nets like right before we played the Celtics?
Yeah, and that's where Royce O'Neal just
went from straight bad to worse.
God. Yeah, Royce O'Neal didn't miss a single shot. He just was always open from three. It was embarrassing. Like, it was all the talk of, hey, we have these slow starts. We're getting like 20 points a quarter in the first quarter. All of a sudden, we go, I think it was like 7-10 from three at the beginning, and we're killing it. And then we just suck. Rest. We can't hit anything.
Yeah, we were like sending messages back and forth. We're like, who is this team? They're making threes. Like, and they were like hitting good threes too. Good shot selections. But yeah, that didn't last too long.
Yeah. Didn't Kobe hit like his first, his first three shots were from three, and he made all of them. Like, I'm pretty sure that happened. It was insane. Seeing all these Bulls play. Like, I honestly thought that we were going to win that game for a second. But then, what, like 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes passed, and we were down 10?
Yeah, it seemed like we were up big, and then we were down big. I guess that's only been one of the only, like, really positive aspects about this team is you really see Kobe White's ability to shoot the ball come through. I mean, didn't he have that, what do you have, 8-9 threes in that game against the, who do we play that he had? He had like 9 threes in a game with one team.
Yeah, I know what game you're talking about. I don't remember who it was against, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Kobe has really been practicing his three-pointer a lot, and it's been showing up. I think he's, the last two games, he's hit 7 or 8 threes. He's shooting a lot better, and I feel like he has a lot more confidence. What really has surprised me during this time was Patrick Williams has stepped it up massively. Like, ever since he's gotten benched, he seems like he's in a better spot. He's actually trying. He's actually scoring. And we're seeing some flashes of what we saw when he first came in, when he was like a rookie and he still had confidence. So, two bright spots. The rest of the team, no.
I mean, the good thing is that those are two young players that, like, I'm not saying if/when we blow this up, build around them. But, I mean, at least we have two players that we can somewhat rely on when we do blow this up.
One other thing I've been noticing is they're passing the ball a lot.
They're passing it too much.
That's exactly what the problem is they're passing up like open layups or open jumpers.
They're passing up easy buckets to what they probably think is a better shot, but it's not. Especially when it's the three, like, just stop. Especially like Zach. Anytime he drives and kicks it out, I'm like, dude, you know you can finish. We all know that you can finish. Just finish it. So, yeah. I don't know what to say about this team anymore. This is just garbage.
Yeah, like, the passes are there. They're entirely too there. Like, they take way too many passes, and they're not the smartest of passes. I would like to see them be able to get Vooch more involved, but even lately, like, I don't know about you guys, but I think Vooch has kind of been, you know, sucking pretty hard. You know, he lost his ability to, one, grab rebounds. I mean, do you guys remember last year he was like, was it top three in double doubles in the NBA, you know, going up against big names, but he's top three in the NBA. And this year it's like, he can't grab a board to save his life. You know, he lost the ability to do his little push shot, his little easy 2 points. It used to be mouse in the house. Now he's missing it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if he's checked out or he's declining. I don't know what to say it, but yeah, I've noticed that.
Like, I'm pretty positive he's checked out. Like, lately, because I know the Bulls are going to lose anytime I watch them, I haven't been focused on like the plays, I've been focused more on like the body language out there on the court, and you can tell that he does not want to be there anymore. He gets so frustrated with the defensive breakdowns that, you know, he's part of the problem with that, by the way. But you can tell that he's checked out. Zach's checked out. Like I said before, the only players I'm pretty sure aren't fully checked out are Caruso, DeRozan. Pat has stepped it up, and so has Kobe. But I think Pat and Kobe probably stepped it up because what's the worst that could happen? They're going to lose some more? Like, go out there and play. I think they're just having fun at this point. Or trying to make the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of, I guess you could say it's easier to be sitting in the stands saying that, you know, everyone's checked out. But I guess we really don't know how bad the situation is for them. I mean, they're the ones going out there and having the target on their backs, not just from Chicago fans, but from the league worldwide. I mean, Dan, you probably saw that, what Charles Barkley said about selling the team, moving to Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Famer telling a major marquee team that the owner needs to sell the team and move thousands of miles across country. What's that telling you?
That this team is hot garbage, that it's a dumpster fire in Chicago, and they don't have, like, front office doesn't have an answer, or at least they're just sitting on their thumbs until February. You know, like, it's like last night's game against the Celtics was the icing on the cake, because even like Bill Simmons was tweeting like every Bulls player should have a giant QR code that leads to the ESPN trade machine on their jersey, because they're so bad. Like, national media got a taste of what we've been seeing throughout the season so far last night. And it was just beyond embarrassing. As a Bulls fan, like, I am embarrassed to tell people that I'm a Bulls fan. I've just been telling them that, like, yeah, I like to watch basketball. I like basketball. Like, I don't like to tell them that I'm a Bulls fan because I'm just so, it's embarrassing, especially with Bucks fans around, Lakers fans around. Like, oh my God, they just laugh at your face. Like, it's embarrassing, man.
I just feel like the Bulls, they're a poverty franchise that lucked into two generational talents. That
yeah.
We're not a good franchise. We're not run well. We just got two lucky picks, our rolls of the ball, got two amazing generational players. And other than that, it's garbage. Other than those two, other than the time when we had Jordan and when we had Rose, it's been absolutely terrible with this team.
Mm-hmm. Well, and did you notice also both times we had those generational talents? I mean, Mike and Derek, we'll just, you know, Mike and Derek, okay? That's the first time you really saw players push back against the staff. Okay, because every coach from, you know, from Tim Floyd to Billy Donovan, whose name isn't Tom Thibodeau or Phil Jackson, agreed with what either the GM said or what ownership says. And Tom Thibodeau and Phil Jackson were the only ones to really push back. Like, I mean, you guys remember when, you know, Tom Thibodeau was approached by Paxson saying, you're playing players too many minutes. And Tom Thibodeau kind of stood his ground and said, well, we're winning games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a key to that. Whereas, like, you know, all your other mediocre coaches in between, they had some decent talent. You know what I mean? Not generational by any stretch of the imagination, but it just goes to show you how poorly run our franchise as a whole is. Because Phil got it to work with Mike. Granted, you're coaching the greatest player of all time, and Tom got it to work with Derek. So, what does that tell you? That we can only go against our franchise because they clearly don't know how to run it.
I really would like Jerry to sell the team. Like, I really, really want that to happen. Like, I understand when fans say fire Billy or fire AK. Like, I get that you're justified, but like, it's not going to happen. Like, when has like Jerry really fired anyone before their contract's up? Like, I understand the Jim Boylan and Hoiberg situations, But other than that, he doesn't fire coaches early. And we all know that Billy signed that extension last year. It kicks in, I think, next year in 2 years or something like that. So we're going to have Billy for the long haul, whether we like it or not. Same with AK. AK signed an extension last year. I don't think we should give up on AK quite yet. I think that we're just so traumatized by the Garpax era that we forget that this is AK's, what, third year with the Bulls. I understand that this team is hot garbage and we've had the same team for the last 3 years and that we've been getting worse every year, but like, he can take this opportunity to like scrap his entire original plan and start new and try to be fresh with it.
Yeah. I don't think AK is a bad GM. I mean, he got us Lonzo. He got us DeMar.
I mean, he
got us the players, but.
I mean, I think, speaking of Lonzo.
Oh, boy.
I think that none of this would have happened if Lonzo didn't get injured. And that they've just been playing like catch up since he's gone down. And every single thing hasn't worked. Pat worked for a little bit. That was like the duct tape to hold it together to end the season. But we
duct tape that. He was like the wet piece of scotch tape that you're like desperately trying to put on and it's not working.
Okay. Well, you know that meme of like, everything is going wrong at work. We'll fix it. And it's just this one guy slapping on like some like infomercial thing. And
all the Flex Seal.
Yeah, and it just says a pizza party. Pat was our pizza party.
Man, that's like an anchovy pizza party. Are you kidding me?
I mean, you don't have to like it. It's pizza.
That goes back to, you say we can trust AK. He's had 3 years to find a point guard. And the best
I'm not saying
Pat Beverly for, what, 30 games?
I'm not saying trust him. I'm just saying don't be so harsh on him so soon. It's only been 3 years.
I also think he doesn't have full control because Jerry has sign off on everything. But yeah, I'm going to tell you that we're not going to fire AK because he just fired everybody in the front office of the White Sox, and he's not going to pay both front offices to go away at the same time. Jerry's too cheap for that.
Yeah. What I do think will happen is tweaks in the coaching staff. Like, Billy needs to make some adjustments in his coaching staff. I don't know if that's fully on Billy or if AK has some input on that. I'm sure Jerry does. But we for sure are going to see tweaks to the coaching staff. It's just not the head coach isn't going to change.
Billy needs to make tweaks to his damn coaching style. I mean, this garbage method of, hey, I got a hot shooter. We're gonna sit him in the middle of him being hot. Seriously, okay, did you guys see this? The game that Coby White was hitting three after three after three, okay? Mysteriously, they never passed the ball to him after that. Like, you have it's insane how we could just hit three after three after three with one player, okay, but then Billy will take him out of the game. I mean, I can understand if you feed him the ball and he's missing shot after shot, you know, following that hot streak, but they just pull him out to bring Zach back on the court or to bring somebody else back on the court. He needs to fix that.
No, he does do it. He did the same thing to Pat. I think it was the Nets game. Patrick Williams and Coby White were both on fire. They took him out of the game. Like Sal said, they didn't touch the ball. I think again, like take a shot, maybe one or two till like the fourth quarter. It's like, how are you going to have your two hottest players not touch the ball because Zach LaVine needs it, because DeMar needs the ball? Learn how to play through other players.
Right. I'm pretty curious to see what this team is like without Zach. Like, once Zach gets traded, to see if Zach was the problem. Like, I don't think he's like the sole problem, but I do think he is part of the problem.
I think DeMar is more the problem.
You do?
Yes. I think DeMar's diminish, just how much he's regressed, is a bigger problem than Zach.
Yeah, he's taken quite a step back this year. Like, his age is coming up. Like, father time is catching up to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not hitting his mid-range. He's not – he's getting to the line a decent amount, certainly not as many as it was last year. And I think his free throws have even fallen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's getting the line, but he's missing it. So, it's a wasted effort there.
Plus, no one's falling for the pump fake anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. Last year, he was – I mean, even savvy veterans, he was getting them up in the air and drawing that contact. But this year, I think, you know, they read the scouting report on DeMar. He's still Mr. Fourth Quarter, though.
Yeah. I feel like teams are just coming out swinging against us, knowing that we're just going to give up. Like, I feel like that's the scouting report for the Bulls. Like, hit them hard in the first quarter, and you'll win.
Yeah, guaranteed. Well, but that's the thing. They come out, you know, they put up 15, 20 points on us, you know, and then in the second half, we'll slowly chip away at it, and then the last 10 minutes of the game, we usually go on this massive, like, 15-point swing the other direction, draw the lead to, like, a one-possession game and make it a nail-biter. You know what I mean? When in reality, if we just put forth the effort in the beginning of the game, that might put enough momentum our way so we don't have to go through that.
Well, I mean, it's like I said, this team has no heart. They no longer care. Like, it shows on the court. What, dude, I'm telling you, guys, next time you guys watch a Bulls game, don't pay attention to the plays. Don't pay attention to the score. Pay attention to the body language. It will speak volumes to you. This team is done.
The only player with a positive plus minus on this team right now is Patrick Williams.
Plus nine. Oh, stop it now.
No, I'm dead serious.
I saw
he's a plus 16.
Right? Plus 16?
DeMar is minus 161.
What?
Yeah, no, our big or mid three, our three quote unquote best players are terrible. Anytime they're on the court, it's a negative something.
What's Vooch's?
Vooch is minus 106. What even is more annoying is Torrey Craig, who we got for defense, is minus 109. He is the second worst on the team.
He is playing terrible.
Yeah, we got him for defense and threes, and I have not seen him hit a three.
Same with Javon Carter. Like, I'm not saying like he's playing bad, but they need to give him some more minutes. Like, we got him for his 3-and-D kind of play, but he's only getting like, what, like maybe 14 minutes?
Yeah, he usually comes in during that mop-up time. I mean, and don't get me wrong, he comes in with energy, and he'll, like, I love his little sprint up the court and leaner shots.
I'm a big fan of his game and what he does. That's why I think that Billy needs to play him more.
Yeah, I think depending on who you see Zach get traded for, because, I mean, let's face the fact, I mean, it's going to happen. You may see JC get some more minutes just because, depending, you know, again, obviously depending on what player we get in return, but I would welcome that, because now here's the thing. Would you play JC at point guard, or would you keep him at shooting guard and keep Kobe at point guard?
Kobe at shooting.
Yeah, I would move Kobe to the two. I feel like that's more of a natural position for him. So, like, I secretly hope that we trade for a point guard, because we desperately need one. I mean, we can, like I said, like, 5 seconds ago, we can easily move Kobe over to the two and just play that style. I mean, you're still small. Billy likes to play small. And what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, we lose and our draft stock improves?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really... I mean, it's like what's the worst that can happen? But
this season's already a wash.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's too late, but it's not too late.
Right.
I mean, like we said, depending on what happens, something's going to happen. Because, you know, as cheap as Jerry is, he hates being an embarrassment. He'll always do just enough to continue selling tickets. And sometimes it works. So I'm interested to see what moves AK is going to pull off. The problem with that point guard idea is I would love a point guard, but I think that in this day and age in the NBA, the point guard role for every team is already filled. I mean, I don't see very many point guards out there that we could grab because, I mean, with the exception of maybe D'Angelo Russell and, you know, would you want to build a franchise around a D'Angelo Russell at his age and experience level?
No, this isn't the, what, this isn't the 2016 or whatever Brooklyn Nets. When was the D'Lo Brooklyn Nets? Like, D'Lo back then was sick. D'Lo right now, not so much.
I think it was like 3-4 years ago, right before he went to Minnesota.
It was the Nate Robinson era for the Bulls. Shaking your head.
Those were the glory days.
Dude, just Nate Rob, just come out of retirement. Save us.
I was on a plane ride with him to Seattle.
Was he in the luggage compartment?
He was on the same plane as me in Seattle. Going to Seattle. Brad picked me up, I was like, hey, I was on the same plane as Nate. There he is right there. And Brad rolled down the window and was like, Nate! He was like, he waved at him. That's the story. Nate waved back at Brad.
Storytelling Scott.
Yeah.
The luggage compartment.
So, I think the rest of the league knows that the Bulls are a joke and they're just, like, screwing around. And the funniest thing happened during the Heat game. As much as I don't like Jimmy Butler, dude's such a clown and I love it. That when he pulled off the skyhook and yelled skyhook at the same time, I just, like, who does that?
Jimmy's a clown. And if he can clown on his former team, let him have it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we spent a good time talking about what's wrong with this team. And trust me, we could have even gone further. That was a summarized issue of what's wrong with this team.
I could talk for hours about how terrible this team is.
Oh, yeah. But now, let's shift a little bit more towards the positive side of the spectrum. What fixes it? What do you guys think could fix the problem? I'm not saying make a playoff push.
No.
Not necessarily, you know, anything of that nature. But what fixes this team and shifts it more towards a positive, brighter future? What are your guys' thoughts?
Nate Robinson coming out of retirement. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Scott, do you want to start?
Yeah. I don't think this fixes it. It's just something we should do. Just give Julian Phillips, give him like 10, 15 minutes a game. Actually play him. I was listening to The Score. They were talking about they went to one of the Windy City Bulls games. He is an absolute dominant player in the G League, and how much better he is than everybody else in the G League, including Terry, who isn't good. But give Julian Phillips 10, 15 minutes. Let him just play. Let him get some minutes. What's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to lose anyways. Let him get out on the floor. See what he can do. Also, play Drummond and Vooch together. Like you said, Vooch can't rebound. Let Drummond get those rebounds.
Right.
They're not going to drive on Drummond. We have two big men out there. Just do it.
Yeah, Drummond's a mountain of a man, Andre Drummond.
Yeah. And he could grab boards, man.
Well, yeah, that's what he was saying. Yeah, I agree with you, Scott, that they should let Billy should let the younger players play more. Like, I know that you said that Terry's terrible and everything, but we're gonna lose anyways. So why not? He's a young player. Give him the experience. You were taught like all preseason. You were talking about pushing the ball. Terry loves to push the ball. So just let the young guys play. Let them get the experience. Sure, it's not going to fix the team, but it might help the team down the road when we do finally decide to blow this whole thing up. We can look at the young talent and be like, okay, like Phillips is ready. Kobe's ready. Pat's ready. Terry we're going to keep you on the bench for right now, but you're getting there. You know, like, just play the young guys more. I agree with the whole Andre Drummond thing. I know that Billy likes to go small. Play big once in a while. Like, because we, anytime players or teams go big against us, they tend to destroy us. So just play big. Play big every once in a while. And obviously, trades. I think trades for picks, trades for young talent. It's not going to be a fix right out the gate. But, I mean, if we're going to blow this whole thing up, let's do it the right way and get our picks. Get draft well. Draft well is very important, AK. But, yeah, I think that it's not like there's no answer to what will fix this. It's just what will help the team in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a big mess right now. I mean, here. Well, it's not even hot. This is just a mess. This is a big sopping mess. But this is what I think is gonna fix it. Okay. Clearly the regime of the Vooch, DeMar, and Zach was a failed experiment. Okay. Those are three individually phenomenal players. But much like all big threes that come together, sometimes it just doesn't work. And in this instance, it just didn't work. I think that your highest possible asset is Zach LaVine. I mean, that should be going without getting said. I think that the Bulls should do whatever it takes to make a phone call to Sacramento, try to see if we can pick up Malik Monk and Harrison Barnes from them, maybe get a pick or so in return. I'd say we got to move DeMar since he does have that expiring contract under his shoulders, which is you can dangle that in front of a couple of those NBA teams that are looking to make a push for put him over the top.
Orlando.
And see what you can get. Yeah, yeah, wherever. Whoever is like that contending team that needs a DeMar DeRozan just to get you some mid-range shots when their shots aren't falling, give them a call. You know what I mean? Vooch, unfortunately, the sad truth about Vooch is the more he's on the court, the lower his draft stock gets. I mean, it's not like, you know, Zach, when he's out there, it seems like ever since we've been putting him on the trade market, you know, he's been bringing his draft stock up. But Vooch, it seems like he's so checked out that he's transferring it into his game. I don't know very much we can get with a Vooch. Again, it would have to be a team that just needs that big guy. But that's that. As far as roster moves, that's what I would do for trades. I would start Kobe. I would play Julian a little bit more just to see what he's got. The problem with this Bulls team is Billy doesn't like playing his rookies.
I feel like that's a Bulls thing, though, because Tibbs didn't like to do that. He didn't like to play younger players either.
And look what happened with Jimmy.
I mean, just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy had to prove...
Yeah, but...
Jimmy had to prove himself on the defensive end just to get some minutes.
Yeah. And that was after... I mean, he sat a decent amount. I think it was, what is it, in the playoffs, Jimmy stepped up because he actually got playing time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I would do. You know, let's face it, we mentioned it, coaching staff, although I don't agree with Billy as the coach because I don't think he's a good NBA coach. He might be a great college coach, but I don't think he's an NBA coach. He is here to stay. I don't think he's going anywhere. In fact, I think it just came out that he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. AK, I mean, the GM is, it, I mean, again, he's a puppet. There's nothing, you know, I mean, he's not going anywhere. Just face the facts. Coaching staff-wise, I mean, you might see a tweak or so here, but how is that really going to transcend in the players? You know what I mean? Because this is a done crowd. They're done. You know, this team is checked out. I say you look towards your younger guys and push towards the future. Just at this point, I don't want to say blow it up, but something needs to be done.
Real quick, I want to circle back to Sal. Did you say that Zach's stock is going up?
It's not that it's going up, but it looks to me like teams are understanding his situation because Zach LaVine will go out there and he'll get you 34 points, lose. The next game, he'll come out kind of flat-footed, but at least teams will look at him like, oh, he's just coming out flat-footed because he's on a crappy team. Because then when he turns it on, he turns it on. It's not like a Vooch where Vooch will come out flat-footed and just not even have a good game. When was the last time Vooch had a monster rebounding game? You know what I mean?
He had a 2020 game this year.
Yeah, early in the season, though. Well, I mean, I know, like, early in the season.
The whole Zach situation. Last night, he had 2 points.
He got hurt, though.
He left the game with a foot soreness. We have seen Zach play through something worse and play better than he played this entire season. That's why I'm 90% sure Zach is just done with this team. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about losing. He just wants to get out and move on from this.
Sure. But
like, I feel like he used his foot injury as a scapegoat to leave the game.
Maybe, but at the same time, when you do have a player of the caliber of a Zach LaVine and you know that there is a very real possibility he's going to be moved, sometimes an injury like that needs to be kind of nursed a little bit, because the last thing you want to do is for him to get really, really hurt and now you can't even trade him and you're stuck with him. You know what I mean? So sitting him, again, we're playing Boston. We're going to get our ass whooped one way or the other. I mean, so what's the worst that could happen? You know, I'd rather pull Zach LaVine and lose the game than win the game and Zach LaVine breaks a foot or tears something and now we can't even get rid of the guy. Same with DeMar, because DeMar rolled his ankle. You know what I mean? And the injury bug is part of the trade wire that you got to watch out for.
Yeah, solid point.
Scott, what do you got for players? Anybody in particular you want to see?
For us to trade for?
Yeah, or just people you got an eye out on.
I really want someone from Detroit. I feel like they're just so badly organized that I feel like we can, if they really want to make a move this year, maybe. But I don't think they're going to, because they're so bad.
Yeah,
I think we're going to... I really think the dark horse is Golden State. That makes a move for someone, because Golden State has been struggling and they need another score.
See, that's that. I mean, that could be that team that you dangle DeMar out. I mean, I don't think they're going to make a trade for Zach, because I mean, that's too much of a long-term investment. But I think for in a win now situation, they could call the Bulls for DeMar.
I mean, I could see them calling about Zach because it's a long-term thing, because I mean, the Curry dynasty is like, they only have like maybe 3 years left of Curry's prime before they have to figure something else out. Like, they thought it was going to be Jordan Poole, but I mean, we all know how that turns out.
Hey, Jordan Poole, some clown ass shit. Like, did you guys see him? He crossed someone up like super hard.
Detroit.
Watch them.
Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, it was Cade. Yeah. He crossed up Cade.
Yeah. He crossed up Cade.
Watched him fall down, just stared at him. Instead of taking a jumper, he tried to make like this, like
the scoop
walking. Forward. Yeah. Scooping yeah. layup. And Asar just came in and blocked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sent it into the stands.
Here's the thing, though. I'd rather have Jordan Poole on this team than anyone else on this roster, just because at least it's entertaining.
No, you were Nick. You were a Nick Young fan.
Nick Young fan. Nick Young you is like Nick Young. Young is better than Jordan Poole.
Yeah. Maybe not at relationships, but
not really.
Definitely basketball, at basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs Gilbert Arenas to yell at him.
Did you see that video? Okay, I'm glad you said something. Where Gilbert Arenas snuck into Nick Young's house while he was home.
And yelled at his kid.
Dude, Gilbert Arenas became a very entertaining player after he retired. But in any sense, you know, it seems like whatever scenario comes out, this is making me reminisce of the Dark Ages Bulls, those early 2000s, the Tim Floyd, Bill Cartwright era. But what stands out, let me touch on that real quick since I mentioned it. These two teams are very similar, okay, in a sense of they're terrible, okay, record-wise. But at least of the 2001-2002 Tim Floyd Bulls that ended up 21-61, which I don't even know if we're going to win 21 games this year. But Never mind that. At least those players, I mean, they had great players. They had Jamal Crawford. They had Tyson Chandler. They had, I mean, well, they had Eddie Curry, but they had Jamal Crawford, Tyson Chandler. They had, they had great players, but the problem is they didn't have a coach to push forward. They still had the heart. Their record was 21, you know, 21-61, but at least they had the heart to play. You know what I mean? They just weren't talented enough yet. This team has three, you know, very, very, very good players. One for sure Hall of Famer in DeMar. Couple question marks with Zach. And I don't know, Vooch, maybe he'll be a Hall of Famer in Serbia or whatever. But they just don't want to play together. They can't get it together. You know what I mean? So unfortunately, we're going back to those dark ages. So just brace yourself.
I mean, I'd rather have those old teams than this team. Like, I'd rather watch, like, Boylan's team with Sato and Denzel Valentine than...
Oh, jeez.
I'm dead serious. Oh. I'm dead serious. Like,
I would almost rather lick a rusty doorknob than go back to those days. That's terrible.
Well,
oh, jeez.
That's how I feel watching this team. Because, like, with the whole, like, Boylan era and everything, like, I didn't get this mad. I get this mad watching this team because they have the talent there, but they just can't get it together. And it annoys me because all preseason they were talking about continuity. They made sure that the team had, like, great, like, chemistry together. Like, they did all these trips and they did all these things together in the off season to improve communication and team chemistry. And then, you know, the first game of the season starts and we get blown out by 20 and we just keep losing. So where is this continuity? Where is this communication? Because there's constant defense breakdowns. There's just constant mistakes being made out on the floor. It's just so, so frustrating watching this team.
I'm very glad you brought up continuity because I think the biggest mistake we ever had was this quote-unquote continuity, because you guys both remind me, what did we do last year? Let's just say that. How did we finish last year?
We were the 10th seed, right?
Yeah, we lost to the Heat for the play-in game.
Okay, I'm glad you guys mentioned that.
Now, we won the
continuity.
Did we win the first play-in game, though? Because we had two.
Right? Yeah, we won the first one, then we lost to the Heat. And yeah. We lost... What, by like 4 points, maybe? It was a close game.
It was a close
game. Because, yeah, okay. AK kept talking about, like, how we almost beat the team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay. Continuity of what? I've never in my life seen a team that thinks continuity is from a 10th seed, you're going to be a championship team. That was absolute horseshit. We don't do a continuation of a team that finished 10th in the East, okay? Continuity should have went out the door when we were struggling to win a play-in game. And the only reason we actually won a play-in game was DeMar DeRozan's daughter screaming and having people miss free throws, okay? And yes, we did lose to the team that later on went to the finals. But I don't think that the record of the Miami Heat showed how good they really were. Like, in a 7-game series, we would have gotten our ass whooped by Miami Heat every single time. Okay. I think that the players showed a little bit more heart last year, but that should have never been a continuation. You don't continue. You don't say, let's run it back with a team that didn't make the playoffs. You say, let's run it back with teams that were in the finals or part of the Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals. You run it back. You get one or two pieces, you run it back. Not with a team that could not get in the playoffs. What are you running back?
Yeah, I feel like to run it back, you have to be like top four in your conference.
Exactly. Prime example, the Derrick Rose years, the 2011-2010 years. Okay. We were close. You run it back. You get a player here. You see where they fit. Didn't work. You take them out. You plug another player in. You keep going.
And they quit on that team too early. I swear, like, if they didn't break up that team, they could have gotten over the hump.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think that the only reason why we were getting so close that we were was that Derrick Rose was just an absolutely tremendous athlete. And I think after his leg injuries, I think that it was just time to call quits. But I mean, unfortunately, it didn't work with the Jimmy Butler era. But
well, you know, again, now we're they here. Called quits on that too early too. Jimmy wanted to stay.
Yep.
But yep. Again, it goes back to Jerry being a piece of shit, cheap fuckhead. I don't know if I can say that on this show, but
that's all right. I mean, I'm glad. I'm actually, now that I mention the 2011 season, Scott, you said you had a really, really good question for us. What was it?
Before we get to my question, I kind of want to break down like how much regression has happened with DeMar and how it's been bad for him this year. Like you guys said earlier, his pump fake is not working. And what's happening is he's trying to pump like two or three times. The guy's just putting his hands up and then he's just taking a bad shot. Right now, from 10 to 16 feet, he was shooting about 50% last year. He's shooting about 34 this year. So we've seen his mid-range go. He just can't hit anything. From 16 to the three-point line, so that's basically where he's taking most of his shots. He's shooting about 38%. That was a 45% from last year. Sal, I think you had a question, like one of our first podcasts was, would you rather have Boozer or DeMar take a jump shot? Boozer. What's your answer now? What's your answer Boozer. Now, Sal?
Oh, it was even Boozer back then.
Yeah.
I think that was... Boozer's just that guy was a mid-range master.
Yeah.
I mean.
But, yeah, DeMar's just regressed like crazy. Once I started, like, researching that, I actually went into Zach, too, just to see what his shooting is like. And I found, Basketball Reference has a breakdown of, like, what their shooting is. Of like how many points are left, how much time's left in the quarter, like that. So with less than 3 minutes left in the quarter, what do you think Zach is shooting? What do you guys think Zach is shooting?
With less than 3 minutes left
in the quarter. Not in the fourth.
In a quarter?
In a quarter. Less than 3 minutes left.
I'm gonna say he's probably in the low 30% or 30%.
I'm going to say 26%.
He is shooting 33% with less than 3 minutes left in the quarter.
Yeah.
The rest of the game, he is shooting 49%. What is happening during the end of a quarter? What is he doing? When we are within 5 points, he is shooting 37%. Compared to when we're any other margin, it's 52%. What, like, does he panic, like, when the quarter's almost over? Does he panic when it's a close game that he's just taking these bad shots?
Maybe because he feels like he's the face of the franchise, that he has to be the one to take the last shot. Like, you know, all the reports of, like, I think it was last season. It was last season or two seasons ago where Zach kept questioning what's his role with this team, because you gave him a max contract. You told him he's pretty much the face of the franchise. And yeah, I think that's why he's trying too hard to be the face of the franchise. And Zach isn't the face of any franchise. Like, I was on the Zach train back in the day thinking like we could 100% build around Zach. He's a one guy. He's a him. But the longer
you're reading this off his Instagram page or something?
No, I realized probably this year at the end of last year that yeah, he's not, he's, two or three option on a very good team, and he's never been on a winning team ever in his NBA career.
Speaking of not winning, he has the worst winning percentage of any All-Star ever. Like, in NBA history. He's won 31% of his games.
He's not.
I don't know how much money the NBA has. I don't know how much money the NBA has to invest in people and like paying people to find out these type of stats.
That's not the NBA that found that stuff out. Someone else looked that up.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, he's not a star. I guess he's a star. He's not an all-star. He's not a superstar. He's a third option on a team. Like, I have a pretty strong feeling he's probably going to get traded to LA. And he'll fit in well there. He'll be a perfect third star to AD and LeBron. And I think that he'll probably play better because, you know, he won't have all the pressure on his shoulders to be the guy. You can't be the guy if LeBron James is on your team. So
sure you can. Ray Allen was the guy.
Ray Allen made
he made one ridiculous shot.
What about Kyrie? Kyrie basically one shot gave him a championship in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I said it.
See, okay, you could that goes back to that debate, which was more important, the block or the shot?
Come on, we know Dellavedova was the real reason they won.
Deli was the real reason. Trick question. It's always Delhi.
I mean, or you just don't put yourself into a real championship team would not put themselves into a position where that would have mattered.
All right. Moving on from LeBron. We're just going to talk shit.
Well, this actually goes back to LeBron, so I did have a question for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So during the D Rose era on the Bulls, if you could add one free agent that the Bulls were rumored to get, potentially get, but we didn't end up signing him, who do you think that would have been that could have put us over LeBron? Because we lost LeBron every year. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that one player, like, if we would have actually signed them, we would have finally either made it to the finals or won?
Are you talking like just the 2010-11,
no,
like the big?
No,
just anybody.
The whole Derrick Rose era, when he was on the team, when we were making the playoffs every year, we were potential champions, potential whatever, but we always ran into LeBron. We could never get past him. If we could have signed one free agent that we were talking to, or one free agent, who would have been? LeBron cannot be the choice because you can't be. That's not the answer. No, you can't pick LeBron because
I wasn't going to. That doesn't make
sense. This one's easy.
Okay.
Dan, you go first.
I want to.
You go first.
I am going to say Carmelo Anthony. Just because we were close to signing him. I do think if we did sign him, we would have won a championship. We needed more scoring with that team. We needed 3-point shooting, especially. And we know that Melo back then, Carmelo Anthony, not LaMelo Ball, you youngsters. He was a walking bucket back in the day. I mean, I'm sure that he still can put up buckets right now. I think if any player during the D Rose era should have came to the Bulls, it should have been Carmelo Anthony. But instead, we got Pau Gasol. And then when we missed out on LeBron and Wade and
Bosh. Love Pau Gasol.
I love Pau Gasol. I do. I didn't want that version. I didn't want old ass Pau Gasol. I wanted, like, if I had Pau on the team, I would want prime.
Pau. You wanted pre-haircut Pau Gasol. He cut his hair and then he got old.
Yeah.
Did you have a Pau Gasol jersey?
I might.
From the Bulls,
I might.
You okay?
I might. I mean, I could. I don't know where my jerseys are right now. but anyway, yeah, I still have my Carlos Boozer jersey.
That thing should be framed, hanging up in your house. I don't understand why it's not.
I got that the day they went on sale.
I got a Kirk Heinrich jersey. That's it.
I mean, Captain Kirk can't go wrong.
Yeah. Okay, Sal. What's your answer?
I mean, all right. So here's the thing. I thought, hold on. First, any one free agent.
During the Derrick Rose era, from pretty much from when he was drafted to when he was traded.
Perfect. Okay. The answer was, in my opinion, it's easier. Okay. I thought it was going to be a hard question, but it's easy. Okay. What's the one thing we were missing out on in the 2010-2011 season?
Outside shooting.
Outside shooting. Okay. Who was our shooting guard during the 2010-2011 season?
Is that Keith Bogans?
Keith Bogans. Okay. Who was the one shooting guard born basically down the street from Derrick Rose, okay, who we had an actual shot the first time I ever seen the Chicago Bulls on ESPN for free agency because of this man right here?
Okay. I thought...
Who am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of Jamal Crawford?
What? No. What?
Are you talking...
He's from Seattle.
I just remember you...
Monta Ellis.
Dwayne Wade, damn it.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, my gosh.
Did we have a chance to sign Dwayne Wade, though?
Yes, we did. Okay, so before, I mean, obviously the story got released afterwards on what actually happened, but there for a while, it was a very real possibility that Dwayne Wade would have came to Chicago. Now, if that would have meant like Bosh would have went to Miami and LeBron would have went to Miami and it would have been just like the big two, you know, whatever, you know, we still would have won because the only thing we were missing to beat LeBron was a shooting guard. Okay. And who better to do it than arguably, I would say, a top five shooting guard in NBA history. I think if we would have pulled the trigger and gotten, I mean, I shouldn't say pulled the trigger. If Dwayne would have pulled the trigger and came to Chicago, then not, in 2017 when he was, you know, getting old, we would have won a championship and we've probably would have won not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Come on, say it with me if you know the words. Not seven. Dwayne Wade, man. Dwayne Wade was the answer.
I agree but disagree just because like Dwayne Wade only came to Chicago that one year because Pat Riley didn't want to pay him. Like, it was pretty much just a big F you to Pat Riley that year. But yeah, I know that we were close, and wasn't it just Bosch that didn't, like, we couldn't make the money work because of Bosch? So they all went
Bosch back. Was, yeah, I think you're right.
So they all went back to Miami because Miami couldn't make it work. But I mean, still, like, it would have been hard to pull. I feel like, as much roots as Dwayne Wade has here in Chicago, I feel like it would be hard to pull him away from Miami, especially if they had the money. That's
a nice shiny gold trophy and playing with one of the most athletic point guards in NBA history would have been enough to pull me away from Miami.
I mean, either a trophy with Derrick Rose or a trophy with LeBron James and your other best friend.
Yeah. Plus, have you been to Miami? I love that place. It's so much fun.
I haven't been to Miami in like 20
years. Miami's awesome.
So we can talk good about Miami now that it's
we're talking about the actual place of Miami. I don't care about
the city. Yeah, the city, Miami Heat. Oh,
the food is so good there.
There's a lot
of good Cuban over there.
Yeah, Cuban, the Colombian food. It's just all Dominican food. It's just, I had some Chilean food out there. It's great. But I had Mello also, by the way.
You had Mello? Really? Okay, I want to hear your rendition.
The reason I had Mello is because 2014, if we had, that was the year we should have signed Mello. We had Rose, Jimmy, Mike Dunleavy, Pau, and Noah. If we have Mike Dunleavy coming off the bench and Mello starting, we lost to the Cavs in the semifinals 2-4. I think we could have beat the Cavs that year.
Yeah.
If we have Mello.
Hands down.
And then they
hands down.
I don't know if we would have won because that was still Golden State is ridiculous, but
oh, the whole thing.
But maybe I think we could have made the finals that year if we had Mello and Dunleavy coming off the bench. Because we still had Taj Gibson, Kirk, Mirotic, Snell, and Aaron Brooks were on that team. That was our bench.
Yeah, but
you didn't. Nazir Muhammad was also on that bench. Don't worry, Sal, your guy.
You didn't even mention
Nasty
Noah.
Nas. Noah.
Yeah, Noah's our starting center.
If you put Dunleavy
on the bench for Melo, I think that's a scary team.
Yeah, I mean, just the start, just the three of Derek, Jimmy, and Melo alone, like, that's our own big three, and we can... Whew, that would have been, like, oh my god, I was so mad when we got Pau instead of Melo. Or when Melo said that he was going to stay in New York. I was so mad at... come on, Carmelo, you're better than that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. All right, so take this. Take your 2014... Bulls with Melo on it, okay, put them against the 2010-2011 60 plus wins Bulls with a prime Derrick Rose and a Dwayne Wade and a Luol Deng and a Carlos Boozer and a Joakim Noah with the original bench mob with Kyle Korver.
Could we afford that?
I'm sure we could have afforded it. I'm sure we could have afforded. We could have made some numbers work. Do you think the 2014 Bulls would have beat them?
Yeah, but would LeBron go to? Would LeBron still go to Miami?
Wade leaves. They do not go to Miami.
Yeah, I don't think they go.
I think he stays in Cleveland.
Bosch joins him in Cleveland.
I don't know if Bosch joins him in Cleveland.
Do you think
Bosch would stay in Toronto somewhere else?
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't think he stays in Toronto. Yeah, I don't think he'll stay in Toronto.
I could have said, like, maybe New York would add a very real chance of signing him. New York, you know, not Miami.
No,
I think he was, I mean, again, I'm not him, but I don't want to speak for him. I don't think he liked Toronto that much.
No, I don't think so either.
So this is the 2011 season you're talking about, or the 2010?
No, 2010.
2010. Who won that finals? Oh, that's Kobe Bryant finals. That was Celtics, Lakers. I don't know if we beat that team.
Of the 2011 or 2010 Lakers?
Yeah.
I'd say that's a pretty close game. Again, keep in mind, you got a lot of Hall of Famers in their prime. I don't ever want to come out, you know, count out Kobe Bryant. I don't want, you know, obviously the man is like a mini Mike, but I still think we win that one. Not even think. No, I'm actually very confident because our bench was deeper than theirs. I would say we win six games.
Against the Lakers?
Yeah.
No, that would have been the 2011 finals.
Yeah, 2010, 2011. Wasn't that 2010, 2011. That was the Mavericks.
Yeah. I don't know if we would have beat the Mavericks are good, but if that trade happened, we wouldn't have saw Jason Terry, Dad Dick LeBron, and that was that was a prime thing in that series.
Yes. I enjoyed every moment of those games of the Dallas Mavericks beating up on the Heat. I don't care. I'm a hater. I don't care.
No, that was... I think that's when people started taking Dirk seriously and just understanding his shot was so good and no one... He wasn't missing from mid-range. It was...
Right.
No one's tried to do that since then, too, is like that lean... fadeaway shot.
Yep. But jeez, the good old days. Yeah. As we're sitting here with our like almost what 0.33% record here, or not even. All right. So aside from your question, I too prepared a question to kind of get the fans involved, the listeners of the show. I'm going to ask you guys, but I'm also going to open it up on Twitter and our Instagram page for them to vote. My question to you guys is, what was the best draft class? Your opinion. What is the best draft class of all time? I got the 2003 draft class with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, so on and so forth. The 96-97 draft with Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, Jerry Stackhouse, so on and so forth. Or the 1984 draft with Michael Jordan in it. Or I'm open to whatever ones you come up with. But out of those three, what's the better draft class?
The Michael Jordan draft is the best draft class. So you have Michael Jordan, John Stockton, Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, Otis Thorpe, Sam Perkins. Those are all Hall of Famers.
Good God.
It's absolutely ridiculous how good this draft class was. Like, you're not gonna beat that. It's Jordan, Stockton, Barkley, and Olajuwon combined for 47 All-Star games, 45 All-NBA, 10 scoring titles, 7 MVPs, 8 NBA champions.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. I was going to argue with the 2003 draft, but no.
You should. You still should.
No.
Well, no, you still should.
All right. So I was going to say the 2003 just because, you know, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Kirk Heinrich,
Kyle Korver,
Luke Ridenour,
Zaza Pachulia,
David West. David West is actually a baller. But I mean, just LeBron James, Melo, Bosh, and Wade by themselves, like, you know, those are Hall of Fame level players. Those are all-star level players. I don't have the numbers like you do, Scott, about how many and all that jazz.
47 all-star games for, well, I don't know when this was put out, but 47 all-star games between them. Probably.
Jeez.
So, I mean, you can make the case. Like, it's debatable, I feel like, between those two. I think it's pretty safe to say those two are the, without doubt, the best two draft classes in NBA history. Just because you had so many all-star level talents in both drafts. Sal, what do you think is the best draft class?
See, I'm actually kind of glad we all three came up with different answers. But let me give you guys a real draft class here. Let me shoot it to you straight here. The 1996-97 NBA draft was not only opinionated the most superior draft class, but it is factually the best draft class. Because right out of the gates, number one overall, you got my man, you got the answer, Allen Iverson went number one overall. Right behind him, you have Marcus Camby. Okay. You had Sharif Abdul-Rahim going number three to Vancouver Grizzlies. If you guys don't remember him playing, he was an absolute baller. Number four overall, you had Starberry. Stephon Marbury.
I forgot about Starberry. I forgot about
you got, yeah, it's Starberry, man. Then number five, you got Mr. Jesus Shuttleworth himself, yes, at Ray Allen. And then big dog Antoine Walker, number six overall. So, and then right behind him, seven, Lorenzen Wright, Kerry Kittle, Samaki Walker, Eric Dampier. The top 10 had talent that was in the league for a long time. Okay. Skipping on down to number 13 overall to the Charlotte Hornets, we have Kobe Bean Bryant, who, as you know, went on to be one of the best of all time. Peja Stojakovic, Steve Nash, Jermaine O'Neal, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, get Derek Fisher, the Junkyard Dog, Jerome Williams, Jerry Stackhouse. I mean, look at this. Undrafted. These are undrafted players. You got Adrian Griffin, our coach, who wasn't really that great, but he came out that year. Ben Wallace. I mean, this was a great... I mean, if you go down the list of this draft, almost everyone was a quality player and stuck around in the league for a while.
Griffin's still in the league.
Yeah, he's coaching the Bucks.
One of the best teams in the NBA.
Yeah. Our neighbors to the north.
Let me throw this out to you. This is a young draft class, 2018.
Who's so, in that draft?
DeAndre Ayton went number one. He's in a phase right now of he can be good, but we still haven't figured it out. And I think he's being off the Suns is going to help him. Bagley is he's a bust for where he was drafted. But you have Luka, who is top three player in the world. You have Jaren Jackson Jr., who is one of the best defensive players the league has seen in a long time. You have Trae Young. Wendell Carter was drafted there. Mo Bamba is a bust. So Colin Sexton, who is who's pretty good on Cleveland. Kevin Knox, who's playing decent on, I believe he's on Detroit right now. You have the Bridge Brothers, who are both averaging like 20, 25 points a game. You have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You have Michael Porter Jr. You have Lonnie Walker, who absolutely destroyed us. Kevin Hunter, who is playing decent right now. You have Grayson Allen, who's also comes in and kills the Bulls every time he plays us, even though we hate him.
You have, there is one rule about the Bulls podcast. We never, ever mention Grayson Allen.
I hate Grayson Allen. He's a scumbag. He should not be in the league.
He does play better.
He should have been kicked out.
He does play better against the Bulls. If you look at his regular stats throughout any other team except the Bulls, like, he's garbage against other teams. Anytime he plays us, he's like an all-star level player.
All right. By the way, I'm not done. Anfernee Simmons is averaging like 20 points a game right now because he's getting the starting role since Dame's gone. Bo Wagner was also drafted same draft.
He's a backup center.
Yeah, but he's still decent. Landry Shumpert was in this draft.
I wouldn't say this draft is one of the greatest of all time, though.
No, but I just named 20 players. DiVincenzo was in this draft. I just named 20 players that are solid contributors. And this was from 6 years ago. How many players from that log are still in the league? Like, the average NBA player is probably two, 3 years. And I just named 20 first round picks that are still in the league. And there's definitely more. This might be one of the top draft or classes ever.
Yeah. I just looked it up. The average NBA career is 4.5 years.
So yeah, this was 6 years ago, and most of the first round picks are still playing. I think probably all of them are still in the league.
I mean, that is impressive. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of them, that's very impressive. But scrolling all the way back to the top, when you see the first two players are DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley, in my humble opinion, to be considered the best draft class, you can't have two players that aren't quite making it. Going back, when you're the number one overall pick, you are a game-changing talent. You know what I mean? Allen Iverson in the 96 draft, and then to Dan's answer, 2003, obviously LeBron James. But look at who popped up behind him. Never mind. I can't say that because wasn't Darko Milicic number two in 2003?
Yes.
But nonetheless.
Yes, Melo was three.
But no. Yeah, yeah. And then Dwayne Wade was.
Yep.
Okay.
No, Bosch.
Bosch? Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh. But anyway, I expected more from those two. Now, what I'll give you is that they're both contributing to their teams. They're both hardworking players and that are still in the league. They just, I guess they just didn't have the names of those two drafts. That's all I'm saying.
It's just, again, they're only 6 years in, and you have Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and SGA, who are all probably Hall of Famers.
All-star level players.
They all have been all NBA team.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is absolutely ridiculous on the defense.
Wasn't he out for defense?
Both the Bridge brothers are really good. What?
He's the defending.
He won Defensive Player of the Year. He had like three or four blocks. He was averaging like 4 blocks a game or something crazy like that last year. You have Michael Porter Jr., who thinks he's Kobe Bryant and doesn't pass the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he makes his shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's more like Kobe than...
Yeah. I just think they're good. This draft is probably going to be one of the top ones. That's all I'm saying.
It's a sleeper. It's a sleeper.
It's a sleeper. We'll let the fans decide. Listeners, you know, chime in. Tell us what you think. If you got a different one, let us know and why. Let us know if there's a draft class that is better than the ones that we missed. Mm-hmm. All that aside, fellas, what do you say we play a little game?
I'm down.
Are you down? You down to clown?
No, ICP.
Whoop. All right, that's... No, absolutely not.
I will come to your house with a big old bottle of Faygo, and we're going to drink it. We're going
to
drink all of it.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right, well, the inspiration of my game today came because it looks like, again, the Bulls will have to look towards the draft to rebuild their roster. But, and I know, Dan, you might have the advantage on this one again. I want to know how well you know the 2003 NBA draft. So I'm going to give you guys 1 minute. Close your browser, first of all. In 1 minute, list as many players as you can in the NBA draft from 2003. But wait, I got a little curveball for you. Any player drafted out of the lottery is worth 2 points. So if you can give me somebody drafted 14th and on, it's worth 2 points. So we're going to put 60 seconds on the timer, and you guys are going to write down as many players as you can. Let me know when you guys are ready. Ready? And go. Let's see. I don't know. I got my money on Scott today. All right, while my co-hosts are filling out their game sheets here, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning into the show. We received, again, tremendous feedback. Follow us on our socials. Head over to our Discords. We usually post fan-based polls, answer our questions, get involved with the community. We know that the Bulls are having a subpar season, but we can still have fun and cheer them on in a different way. Dan? Would you like to go first?
All right, so I got LeBron, Melo, Wade, David West, Captain Kirk, Darko, Keith Bogans, Zaza, and my last one is Chris Kaman.
Okay, you got 11. Right on. Damn.
I'm sorry, Scott.
What do you got,
Scott? I have a great advantage.
Yeah. LeBron, Bosch, West, Wade, Kirk, and Boris Diaw.
Oh, I forgot about Boris Diaw.
Boris Diaw? Was he taken...
he was in the first round.
Later on?
Yeah.
Oh, he was, okay.
Boris Diaw, 21.
Nobody said Kyle Korver?
I couldn't remember if Kyle Korver was on the list or not. I could not remember.
Luke Ridenour, we didn't say.
Luke Ridenour. I mentioned him during the greatest draft argument.
Nick Collison, he was a monster on the
Sonics.
Was he playing still? What I remember
was
from
the draft. He was a Sonic.
Him and KD were from OKC.
Well, he was one of those players that came over from Seattle.
Like him and KD were like the last two. Or more. Are they
that dipshit right Kendrick Perkins was there?
Oh, jeez. Hey, don't talk about the Sonics that way, man. We're about to be the Chicago Bulls or the Seattle Bulls of Chicago or vice versa. All right. Well, it looks like Dan takes another one. That's two in a row for you, dude. You're on some sort of roll. What's the record at now? So you've both got two wins?
I know I have two. I don't know how many Scott has. I think he has two or three.
Well, you got that one tie. I think it's 2-2-1.
All right. Yeah, 2-2-1.
Ooh, I can't wait for the next game. All right. That'll take us to the end of the cast. You guys got anything?
pray that the Bulls get better. Pray that trade season comes soon. Pray that we'll put on your Christmas list. That for a better roster than what we currently have.
I like it. I like it. Scott, what do you got for us?
I'm going to keep watching these games. And I'm actually kind of enjoying watching basketball more because this is the first year I've actually like taken a full interest in the Bulls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's fine. Well, I've always watched the games, but I'm actually taking an interest in like, hey, I need to watch these games. So right.
Same.
I'm watching basketball has made me understand that I don't like football. Like, football's okay, but basketball's such a better sport.
Thank you. I'm going to say it. Thank you. When I tell
like,
people,
I'll watch football, but also the problem is I think the Bears might be worse than the Bulls. They're just so – it's just like – I don't know. They might be – they're terrible. Chicago sports sucks.
Dude, it's rough. It's rough to be a sports fan in this city right now.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's actually something that I wanted to do a separate show on, and that's just Chicago sports as a whole and why they're that god-awful. But, yeah.
We're probably the worst big market.
New York's pretty
terrible.
New York's pretty bad.
Yeah. But
and that's having like 3-4 teams on average.
True.
Yeah. Is it 3 teams in some sports?
But yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Trades are going to happen. The team's going to be bad this year, but I don't know.
But I mean,
Maybe we'll fire some people. Maybe Billy's gone and then they're just going to hire Budenholzer because it's just
Becky Hammon.
They're not going to hire Becky Hammon. They're going to hire Budenholzer. You know it.
Yeah. It's a Bulls move. So. I mean, one thing is certain, though, as bad as this team gets, we will still give you, our loyal listeners, a great podcast to listen to.
I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we got.
Yeah. There's one thing you can count on, despite the Bulls being that terrible, is that the Horns Over Hoops podcast will provide you with some great ear candy for years to come. That's all I got for you guys. Again, fans, slide over to our Discord, participate in our polls. Go ahead and visit our Linktree. It's got all the lists of our socials in there. Come on in, get involved, be part of the Horns Over Hoops community. If you want to hear something on the cast or any questions, feel free to email us with the email listed down below. Again, like Dan said, let's pray for a better season. With all that being said, good night, see red, and go Bulls, I guess.
And thanks again to Emily Swan for our artwork. You can find her anywhere on the internet at A Swan Named Emily.
Yeah, for you guys who didn't see our new logo, it's absolutely incredible. Emily knocked it out of the park with that one. We are looking to get some merch printed up with that on there. It's just that good.
I love it.
But more on that to come soon. But yeah, go over to her social, give her props, and check out her work.
Was the month of December, and all through your phones, a disturbance of alerts, rings, buzzes, and tones. A story has arrived, nestled deep in your pocket, unannounced, unbidden, such a gift to unlock it. It begins today, and on for 23 days more.
Pay heed to this feed, for an epic obscure, a Christmas calamity, insanity, we hope to never endure. So rein in your reindeer as we approach the first door. Wistful white winter wood with a wreath wrapped all in bows. How fitting for the beginning to a song of sugar and snow.
It all starts this Friday, December 1st at 12:01 Eastern. You can find out where to listen at linktree.com/CZDrop. That's linktr.ee/CZDrop. Okay, bye.